Hello, so this is Jimmy, and this is Welcome to Life with Jimmy, and I'm glad recording this on the February of 27 on a Saturday morning at 7:06, 7:07:02, and beautiful as it might sound, I'm glad that I'm done with season one. And this has been a good road, and most people were interested with different topics that I never expected they would, and those I thought they would, they just reacted normal, which to me is a lesson, because now I know how I can be authentic to certain kind of topics that I might find them normal, but they really are something that we really need to talk about. You know, we can't find solution for problems we keep on denying, or we can't even speak about them. So this episode, I just decided to introduce myself, give a little bit biography, so that when you listen, you know exactly who am I listening to and what are the emphases on this somebody's mind, and why should I, you know. So This is an introduction to the podcast maker, creator, author, you know, just the conversation on the other side. So I decided to do it differently. I didn't want to like to do it in a normal way how people do. I decided to put it in a more poetic way, in a more genuine way, more true. So I call this, If the Authors Could Pray, and here's my bio. So my name is Jimmy Wilfred Daniel Molel. I'm a born Maasai, from a pure Maasai breed. Both grandparents on my dad's side are both Maasai, born on the Ngorongoro, raised on the Monduli, and finding green pastures, just went to Arusha. And my mom's side, I'm born with a pure Chaga blood. Both my grandparents on my mom's side are all Chaga, and from Kilema. So it's a good place. I've been there. Beautiful scenery, beautiful rivers. It's a majestic waterfalls everywhere you just turn. So that is the breed that makes this partly Maasai, partly Chaga, pure breeds or hybrid. And yeah, so here's my prayer. So Lord, I want to be thankful for being born from beautiful family, of a Maasai dad and a Chaga mom. Thank you for the way they raised me, for the way they pushed me, for the way they allowed me to grow, to find myself, above all, to challenge myself. And thank you that they did their best they could to always make sure that I had the best chances on tackling this thing that we call life. And I'm glad that I can say they're successful, because we're doing what they taught us, and in the most basic and simple ways. So thank you for that, Lord. And I'm glad that I had two brothers, the first one called Eric and the second one called Prayson. Wonderful people, extreme people in all both direction, hot and cold. And it's been nice seeing different parts of how life can be. And I'm glad for every one of them. I'm glad for the lesson they keep teaching me. I'm glad for the humble way that they show how life should be, and how you can turn from any point and make magic come out of you, you know, make something great in this world that will really bring some impact, you know, like not just live and pass, but live and leave a legacy. So I'm really glad for that. And and that's me as the last born, obviously. Had privilege, a lot of privileges. So I cannot deny that I had a wonderful childhood. I know I might not say rich, I'll say wonderful, because I have been in I've stayed in rented houses where you stay more than one family that are not even remotely related, and beginning this journey of life and seeing how parents coming from humble beginning and how they struggle and how they hustled and how they did what they did with what they were given, with the cards they were dealt in their life, and seeing them grow, see them reach this height and giving us a wonderful roof and a wonderful place to call home, and try by their level best to give us the one thing that somebody can give you is education, you know? Find your level best to give them the best. And I'm glad that I started my school on an English medium based school. Back in the day, that's what they called them, an English medium, you know? It was a big thing. It was a really big thing back in the days. So the school is called Marumboso, and it's just here near Kambia Fisi. So it's a nice place. It's an urban, remotely good place. It's like those places where in the movies people show you that, like, they go in a ghost town or something like that. Those kind of scenery. Yeah, you know, nothing major, but there are some things there. So yeah, it was a Baptist school actually. I don't know. I didn't even know what Baptist was, but it was a Baptist school. I think it is still. So I started, I think, pre-unit, went beginners. Then I think I went to class one, and yeah. And I remember wonderful people. I was not remotely close to the cool kids. I think I was in the middle kids. So I think I could pull some strings here and there with my jokes and wits, and here and there I get a chance to sit with the cool kids, like it was something privileged, you know. But that was it. That was it. I had wonderful teachers. I can remember Teacher Sa and the rest. I remember the computer and the French person. I had a French teacher, but we just had those, you know, those things that you talk, you read, and it sounds weird, like. I didn't know in French, le tombe means to fall. So you can remember back in school, you are stupid and you hear a nasty word in another language and it means different. So here and there you try to make sentences while you fall down, you know, like when I was playing, I fell down, like, you know, something like this. I'm a boy, I fall down. Je me peux la little tombe. Yeah, it's like those kind of thing, you know. But those are memories, you know. You have those small stupid things that when you look back and you be like, that was fun, that was interesting of me, that was an interesting character, that was interesting way of seeing life. And yeah, and then I think it did good, yeah, because I got selected to Arusha Seki, and I stayed there, I think, Form 1 to Form 2 on February, I think, yeah. Then apparently when I was in my class, not to brag, but I was top in the class. So it is just you know, you feel like, yeah, you know, I'm the smartest. Whenever grades comes, you know your paper will be the last one called, you know. You had that vibe, you just had that charisma of intellect, and that felt so superior to others. And when you look back, you're like, oh crap, I was stupid. That was nothing, you know. Life is bigger than that. Life is bigger than feeling superior to your fellow human being. Life is bigger than just feeling like you're somebody better than the other person, you know. And you look back, you're like, ah, come on. But then that was it. So when I reached, I finished Form 1, I think I was number one throughout in my class. I think I was Form 1A throughout. And I wanted more challenge. You know, you feel like, yeah, we're the big boys now, you know. And the big boys were in the boarding school. So I had to pull some strength, talk to my dad. I think I told him I want to go to boarding school. And I chose Liamungo. Above all boarding school out there, I chose Liamungo. For you who don't know Liamungo, you can Google Liamungo and things will pop up in your magazine, I'm sure. It was a very, very vibrant environment, actually. It was really, really peculiar because it was a mixture of smart kids and then it was a mixture of unknown kind of characters, like people who are at school but they don't go to class and they fail. You know those kind of people? Like, okay, you're not smart. You're not coming to class because you're smart, because you're failing. And you're not reading, but you're still failing, you know? What are you doing here? And you're more concerned with Wali and Marage and Nyama more than coming to class. You're more concerned on Sunday when you go and bath and where, you know? It was a very peculiar array of people. And then there were those people who were like the best, who were chosen by the government, like the best. So it was, you could see different rays of people. It was a very peculiar environment. We did a lot of work out there. Ooh, I have never been in a farm and worked that much as in that school. And I don't think I'll ever work that much. Maybe if an apocalypse occurs, but that place you worked, you literally had to wake up in the morning, make your garden, I don't know, prune or put some stone around it better, water it. Then you had to go prepare yourself before you go for uji. Then you had to go to assemble by 7:30. You were doing a lot of things in the morning before going to class. And then it was an all boys school, so you can imagine. I remember our cubic, we had 8 beds. We had 8 beds. And in those 8 beds, not 8 people were sleeping. We were more than 8. So you can imagine there were people who were sleeping double. Obviously. Not all, but there are people. Because that's where I came in. So I went in. I had this, when I reached, I remember there was some issues with the way I was, my movement, I don't know, my transfer was not clear. I think it got a little bit delayed somewhere. So I went to school, but I was permitted to go in, but not with my luggages. So I remember my luggage was confiscated in the office of this, I think it was the second master. For a whole week, I had nothing. I had no toothpaste. I had nothing. I had clothes on me, and I wore those clothes the whole freaking 10 days. I remember 10 days. I've never wore clothes 10 days. Like, you don't have anything to change on. So you go shamba, you go the same uniform. You go class, you go the same uniform. You go sleep, you sleep with the same uniform. I don't know why they did that, though. I remember I had a toothpaste. I had just to keep it beside a bed. But then I was welcomed by a neighbor. Very good people, very good person. And indeed person until now, a good friend, Tom. And I think he took me in. He gave me a place to put my head. He took me there like the very first day where I didn't know where north with. And he showed me around, you know. And then later on, the cubic was really full. I remember I think every bed was double. I think so. But people were fun, you know, those kind of, like, it was like every day was like a boys' night. Like, you would just sit out and talk stories and make fun jokes, and here and there it was really, really really, really vibrant, you know. Different ideas, extreme ideas, stupid ideas, great ideas, amazing ideas, and amazing talents. There were people in there just had talent, you know. You'd be like, dude, school is not your thing, but that is your thing. And if you do that, you're going to make a lot of good living out of it. And I hope those people are doing those things. I hope so, you know. But then I remember I stayed there for quite a while. That place, the prefects had power more than the teachers. A prefect will call you, who is a fellow student, just an upper class, and slap you up. Like, if you did something wrong in front of a teacher or in front of the headmaster, and no one will say a thing. Like, it was justifiable. Like, if they did that, you deserved it. And it was just pie. It was their word against yours, you know. In that place, we were so scared of prefects who were fellow students more than anything. But it was an amazing, amazing, weird place. You know, we had weird things. There were dramas, like maybe O level and A level have a beef. We will get into our own civil wars, and we will fight over the night. I remember Stone Stone Wa 1 and Stone Stone Wa 2. Stone Wall, because there was the construction, so there were those rubble stones that had healed up before they started construction. So when the fight popped up throughout the night, the only thing O level had was stones, and the A level had these majembe slashers and like those farm tools, and they somehow had like a plan. They had like code. They were just speaking their class teachers, so maybe they made the tell Kimatuka Kimata, you had to answer something Kima, I don't know what. Now if you're not in their class, you'll never know those teachers' name, so you end up, every time they meet you in the middle of the night, they speak that, you don't speak it back, the code, you get whooped. You know, we had those. So the only thing we were fighting with was stones, because those were readily available. So that's why we call it Stone One. Because that was the beef between a football match, I think an A level Form 5 and Form 3. And I think there was the weirdest endings, and I think we won Form 3. And I think they didn't take it right, so at night we had a fight. I think that was Stone One. And Stone One 2, it was more of a political thing. It was more of a respect. They felt like this Madogo had to respect, and they had to like rattle out, and it went bad. That was a bad one, because they had planned it for a while. That was a bad one. I remember people had cut wounds and punches, and I don't know. But I know the terror. Stone One 2 was something else, because 2 started like probably somewhere at 7 exactly p.m. when the sun just went down, and these people had already eat, and we were waiting to go and eat. That's when the war broke up, when we were really thinking about food. These A-level people started their war right at that moment, where you are not prepared, you're holding your plate. You can't fight with a plate, you know, you're protecting plate is life back then. So yeah, interesting. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for that. That was a wonderful experience. I'm glad I had it. It taught me different way. It taught me eating rotten meat is not a good idea, no matter how much it's boiled. You know, you cannot boil it. Oh my God. You cannot boil a rotten meat, I'll tell you guys. No matter what, you will get sick. If you find a rotten meat, do not try to find maneuvers to bypass it by your science. You know, kill the microbes by heat. They will end up just screwing you up. So don't. Interesting ideas in there. I experienced those. I remember I diarrhea'd somewhere like 22 times in 2 days. I remember my best friend at that time, and still, and I think will be, Evan Stasia, took me, like, I think he carried me from school to the hospital. It was almost like somewhere like 6 to 7 kilometers, and he literally carried me in his back, in his sideway, dragged me, put me beside a road. Man, back then it was some life and things. And I know we bonded good with Evans. He's been a good, wonderful friend. Interesting mind. You guys, one day you listen, I'll make a podcast with him. Interesting ideas here and there. I'll tell you for certain interesting ideas. And I think we've been good friends. I think we did kindergarten together, and we came and met again in Form 2 and onwards, and still a good friend, still the best. So yeah. And apart from that, I remember we had had lockers and everything. That place was peculiar. We had kunguni. Oh my God, those are bed bugs. Oh my God, those were bad, because it was the weirdest thing. You might stay in class, and the person in front of you, there's a bug, literally a bug family, like maybe a bug of 7, crawling in a straight line on this person's collar, and they are biting the neck as they do so, and this person will keep on scratching. And oh my God, that was crazy. But then I'm glad I had that. It was a different area. I know we were expelled at Form 4 near Mock, because there was a fight between prefects and the rest of the community. You remember when I said prefects had fights? That civil war got bad and the student retaliated. They realized that many and together is stronger than few who have been given power. And sometimes they overthrown that dynamic, and a big fight came out, and it was bad because I think the school was almost torched. And I remember we were put under lockdown with police for 5 days, no one in, no one out, and the parents were all called, and the damage of the school was all reported, and every parent was explained, and we had to be expelled and return with that amount of fee that had costed the destruction. I remember it was something like 50 something for each student, and we were a lot. So you can imagine, like my class, we were almost like 300. That was just one class, but it was J, K, T, U, V. I don't know why they never use A, B, C, D. Like so easy as any place. They just use J, K, T, U, V. And you can imagine, we all paid, I think, like 54 each. And some people were expelled, and it was a big political thing. I think later on, the mayor came and did some talk. They were here and there. I think we did not pay the man at the end. I think it was reduced. I think there was some dynamics, but it was well taken care of, I think, on the other side. And then we were told to return back to your own region, and you'll be given a place. And I came back to Arusha. I was given Arusha Day. So I completed in Arusha Day my last from Mock to Nectar, met new friends, you know, met people who studied in town and had these town stories, you know, and you had this old clustered village boarding school stories. And, you know, it was a good conversation there. Met good friends, met one of my best friend also, Susan Mono. She's a lawyer. She's going to be in one of these days. I know she's going to be in one of the podcasts. You can hear that. It's an interesting mind too. And she's an author, actually. She has a book. Yeah, she has a book. It's an interesting book. So, yeah, interesting ideas. Met different people there. I'm glad. Then, between there, went to Majengo for A-level. I did Majengo. Majengo was short. It was 2 years, but it was short. Quite towny, quite urban, you know. It felt people were going to club, people had freedom, people had been dating, people had phones, and it was like a mini university, and it was dynamic. It was really, and people like Sanchi have been through there. I was the same class with Sanchi. I think I was the same class with who else was known, but this person else was known in the industry, but I don't know. You can imagine, I interesting kind of people, different areas, different personas, and met good doctors out there. I still have good friends, good engineers, good lawyers. So yeah, people who are working their own business, entrepreneurs. Interesting, yeah. Then I met Gladstone. I think I once went to Elboru to visit Evans, and I met Gladstone, and we met on a chess game. I remember back then I was playing chess, and I had Gladstone, who had this other friend, I think it was Robert. They were playing chess. Interesting game. I looked, it was interesting openings and closings. Closings were not good, they were still bad. And I had some few strings here and there. I think I played with Gladstone. I reached halfway, I twisted the board, and I actually maneuvered my way and won that game. And I looked like a smartest badass kind of guy from nowhere, from Majengo, you know, with the big boys here and doing all this magic. And yeah, and now I have never won. I think Gladstone for quite a while. I think the last maybe 30 games, maybe he won 27 and I won 3. You can imagine how good he has been throughout that time. And interesting person, we'll have a conversation with him too. I think now he's in America doing some exchange for some audit company. I think he's going to come back soon. And I think on May he's going to be back in TZ. And yeah, interesting things. So after that, I went to Chuo. I think I went to KCMC. So from there, we're gonna continue. Let's take a break. So just where we ended, we're gonna continue. So when I finished A-level, I was privileged to travel, and I was privileged to travel to Denmark, Copenhagen, and that was my very first traveling. Actually, that was my first international flight. I think prior to that, I just had one flight from Arusha to Dar and back, and so that was my second run of flight. And I was privileged to go to Copenhagen. Interesting place. I love the place. It's cold. Okay, the time I went, it was cold. So I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed being there and seeing the world in a different light, different mirror, different perception, and different systems, and everything was different, different language. And I stayed there, I think, for like 9 weeks, I think, or so. It was interesting. I enjoyed every bit of it. I gained a lot of pounds. I think I got like 6 kgs in my trip. So I got a little bit fat because I was eating a lot. Thanks to my sister-in-law, Leah, married to Prison. Leah is a Danish. She's a Danish. She's a nurse also. And also having 3 kids, Eloise, Nora, and Mario, cute babies. That's when I stayed there, made new perception of the world, and knowing that it's not just limited to your geographical area. World is really, really big, and you can create connection anywhere you go, you know. Make good friends and see life. Like, really, traveling became my best hobby. Like, my best hobby is traveling, you know. Anyway, even if it's inside the car, locally. And when I came back, I was chosen to stay at university at KCMC. So I did my undergraduate 5 good years at KCMC. Nice place, because it was a blessing. It was a blessing because it was a place where I changed from a boy to a man, and learned a lot of lessons. And the biggest achievement in that place was meeting the love of my life, my wife, Dr. Cecilia Alexenville. And she's an amazing lady, you know. She's a little bit she's short, and you know how short girls are, so cute and bubbly. They're like a little bit TNT, like a little bit dynamite, full of love. And I love this woman from the go. And I think since second year we've been dating. I know we had mistakes here and there, but we made it. After like 6 years, we got married, and I've never been happier in my life than to be accompanied by such a partner in this life. And I'm privileged, and I'm the luckiest man here. And I have a wonderful wife. She's a wonderful chef. She's very intelligent. She has a very good sense of humor. She's magical, you know. I have no complaints from her, you know. Everything I have from her is perfect, and I keep thanking God every day for such a wonderful person in my life, you know. So yeah, I met her back in uni, and a lot of people too. I met very good friends like George. George has been a very good, like, you know, those people who you call brothers that you need in life, that they will always tell you the truth even if it's the last thing you want to hear, and they will tell you as crude as possible whether you like it or not. They will be blunt. And I met Jasmine, a very good lady. I think now she's doing pediatrics.
at Moores, and I think George is also doing internal medicine at Moores. Apparently he's going to be a nephrologist, so I'm interested in his life. And also I met the twins, Abed and Ayub, both doctors, interesting people. One has been a surgeon, and I think one is doing something, I don't remember, but it was like an NGO of flying doctors. Big things. And I met peculiar people, intelligent people like Ford. I think he's in KSMC now doing internal medicine. I met a lot of doctors, you know, Tom, TJ Jacks, Miso, and the rest, and Kabuje, you know, those just people who are the light of the room, you know. They pop up and everything is nice, and Med Chuo, a wonderful place, taught me a lot of things here and there. Experimented on different ideas, and here and there had learned life, you know, university to the fullest. No complaints there. I'm glad while in the university, I think on my fourth year, I got the privilege to be an elective student, and we had an exchange program, and we went to Newcastle for 7 weeks. Yeah. And funny things, I remember I was telling Cecilia, my wife, you should apply, and she was like, it's past due date, it's past deadline. I was like, just apply, they were not gonna kill you for applying. And I remember she applied very late, almost like 2 days past the date, and we were actually chosen. We were chosen 6 students out of like 150 students to actually be the exchange, and I was privileged to be one, and Cecilia was privileged to be one. I remember we even had the same ticket, like sitting, we were sitting beside. So we saw Newcastle together, and we traveled. I remember we had a good North Tyneside hospital. They were very good people. They treated us really nice. I was in cardiology unit. Sisi was in pediatrics. I think Suzo was in orthopedics with Mubashir. And I think Upendo was in gynec, and I think Mariam was in something else. I don't remember what it was, but it was nice. We saw UK in a very good area. We went Dunham, we went Manchester. We were welcome to go to London by this guy. We actually helped his thesis. I think he did a thesis on traditional healers in Tanzania and medicine, something like that. And he was doing his thesis, and he had a lot of recordings that were in Swahili, and we had to translate them to English so that he can actually put them in the thesis. And when we were done, he said, "What can I repay you for?" And we all be like, we've never been to London, and we don't have know anyone in London. So if you will host us, we'll really be privileged. And he did host us. Wonderful family. That is the family that I went, and everywhere in that family had books. Even in the toilets, they had books. In the staircase, they had books. That family read. And I remember the father was actually the cook. He used to cook the dinners. Like, it was peculiar scene, like in a family where the father is the one going to the kitchen and the mother is the one like just trying here and there, holding a wine and trying to be nice, and the kids were a different area, you know. It was a wonderful place. We got lost in London, we got lost in a lot of places. But it is nice. London is a really good place, actually. It's like a little diaslam. It's a very good place. You don't feel like a foreigner. You feel like you belong there because no one knows who you are, and no one knows if you are a guest or not. And then apart from that, I think I got another trip to Sweden, a little bit to Denmark again, Scotland, Turkey, Netherlands. Yeah, been there and did that. Traveling's nice, and trust me, by saying all this, I was privileged in all of them. It's not like I had money or anything. I was just privileged to be at the right places and be around the right people, and surrounded by people who really pull whatever they had to like see me see a different experience, and I'm glad for that. And I think everybody has those kind of people in their life, and you'd be smart if you pay attention. And So, yeah. Now that we're here now, I'm a doctor. I've been working since 2017. It's been like 4 years now working. With 2 years, I did some administration work as a medical director of a new upcoming hospital in Sakina. And then I also did a little bit at KSMC, but then now I'm doing another polyclinic in the middle of the town. Yeah, so that's where I'm working right now. It's in a polyclinic, a specialized polyclinic. So it's a good place. I don't have complaints, and I've been working here, I think, for quite like 7 months now, and it's been good. So that has been me throughout, and you now know a little bit of me. I have a little bit of culture here and there. Religion-wise, I have been I've seen different ideas and different notions and different systems. I tried, born as a Christian family, but then there was a moment I almost went to atheism. Then I did a little bit of Buddhism, did a little bit, I studied a little bit of Islamic, I studied a little bit of different notions, you know, here and there. I just wanted to know, but now I can say I'm back to Christianity, and I'm glad, because there are certain steps that I need to make, and I think being in this path will make me reach those steps quicker. And I'm really blessed, and I thank God for my life and the experiences I've had here and there. I know I've not said everything. There are just some things I've skipped here and there. It's been a busy life. I'm glad it is. Who are my influences? I think I've been reading a lot. I think people who follow me on Instagram, QuantumIDoc, you'll see a lot of my books. I usually post what I read, so that people who are interested, they can actually read them too, and or ask about a book. But I think Jordan Peterson, Sam Harris, and the rest, you know, they've really played an influence on me, and I'm having different different playing with different ideas, no matter how extreme no matter how extreme they may seem, you know. Yeah. So who I'm listening right now, lately I've been listening on Lauren Daigle, and I think my favorite song is Rescue. I think I play it almost every day. And another song, I don't remember the name, but it's really good. I think the album is just good. It's a very good, interesting artist. I think lately I've been listening that a lot, doing jogging here and there in the evenings. And enjoying a happy marriage, enjoying my wife, enjoying my new life with her, and making milestone each time we do. And so, yeah, so that has been me. I hope you now know a little bit about me. I'm not a stranger. I'm just a normal guy, just privileged to see life in different perspective. And I like to share these things that I've seen, you know. I like to speak things from experience. I like to speak ideas in crude ways, so that we may open conversation that most people don't, you know. So I know when I talk to different people like Evans and Gladstone, you keep on hearing some of the stories I've been, and if they interest you, you know, it'd be nice. It's always nice to know each other, so that we're not strangers, so that you know exactly what mind is speaking. And that is me. So kudos, and buckle up, season 2 is on the way. Yay.